My name is Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
Tonight on Between the Sheets, a reminder, this is an adult ears only listening segment. This evening, strictly just for adults, because we're diving into a topic that's challenging one of the most deeply ingrained ideas about love and relationships. The notion that we're meant to find one person and stay with them forever. More and more people are starting to question whether that model actually works for everyone and exploring alternatives that prioritise communication, flexibility and honesty. Joining me is Leanne Yao, also known as Polyphilia on social media. She is a polyamorous relationship educator and content creator who's helping people better understand ethical non-monogamy, boundaries and what it really means to build relationships outside traditional expectations. Leanne, you're very welcome to the show. Thanks so much for being on with us this evening. For people hearing the term for the first time, how would you explain what polyamory actually is and what it isn't?
Yeah, so the way I like to explain it is I just kind of break it down, well, like using kind of etymology. So poly means many, comes from the Greek root, and amory comes from amor, like the, you know, the Latin meaning love. So many love, multiple loves. And essentially it is a relationship structure where kind of everyone involved, you know, like enthusiastically consents and is informed about the fact that everyone can have more than one romantic relationship at the same time. It's like under the wider umbrella of non-monogamy. Some people say ethical or consensual non-monogamy. I just say non-monogamy. It's like the one type specifically where you don't just have kind of multiple sexual partners, casual partners, but you have multiple romantic relationships that are committed and long-term.
I know you're very open about your own polyamorous relationship status, and you've talked about it on your TikTok and things like that. How did that journey begin for you? What drew you to this being how you wanted to carry out romantic relationships?
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of an evolution. I didn't start out polyamorous personally, but I have been practicing various forms of non-monogamy for over a decade now. And I got into it quite young. Like I've been doing it since I was like 17. And it was something I sort of accidentally fell into because I was just doing it. And then I later realized that there was a name for it and that other people were doing it as well. So it wasn't like I came across the term and I was like, oh my God, I really want to do this. I was in a long distance relationship. It wasn't long distance initially, but like when we went long distance, the conversation came up of like, well, I mean, we're not going to be able to see each other for like long stretches at a time and we don't want to break up. We also don't want to, you know, just ignore the fact that there will be certain things that we can't do and certain needs that can't be met. And we don't want to be dishonest about that. We don't want to cheat on each other. And we also don't want to resent each other for not being able to meet those needs just because of the circumstances that we're under. And so it just became a very practical decision to open up and start, you know, like engaging with other people, obviously with, you know, everyone knowing about the situation and everything being above board. And that was just quite like a natural evolution. So I would say at the time I was in what would be classed more as an open relationship where, you know, I still had like a primary partner, like who I had like a loving romantic relationship with, but we were like sleeping with other people essentially. And I think it was after a couple years of doing that where I was like, you know what, like I'm also open to multiple romantic connections, and, you know, dismantling the kind of that hierarchy of still having like kind of one true soulmate or whatever. And so, yeah, and that's what I've been doing for about 7 years now. So yeah, like I don't know where I started making that shift, but it just happened somewhere along the way. But that's kind of my specific kind of journey into it.
It clearly just resonated with you, and you seemed to kind of fall into it nearly accidentally at first, but it obviously was something that you really were interested in pursuing in your own life. And it's great to hear that, you know, all these years on, things are working out really well for you. But you mentioned that hierarchy that we kind of have in society about having one partner and the one partner forever. Why do you think that is such a dominant discussion in society, that you must have one person that you stay with forever and that is it?
Yeah, I mean, monogamy as we currently understand it, right? Like not just like having one partner at a time, but the entire institution of like monogamy and how it ties in with marriage and all of that is like a relatively recent invention. You know, in the past, like people would get married as like a financial or like a political decision to kind of marry together two families and, you know, like combine dynasties and, you know, or pass on generational wealth and property and that kind of thing. But I think it's only been in the last maybe kind of 200 years or so, like where the idea of you know, like marriage and like romantic exclusivity, like became well married together. And so, yeah, like I think a lot of it honestly has to do with kind of capitalism. I think a lot of it has to do with like people being kind of more like siloed into like individual, like, you know, nuclear families. And I think as well, like given that so much of our lives are now kind of taken up by work, I think there is like a simplicity, I think, that some people feel like to kind of having kind of one romantic relationship at a time. And I guess kind of like putting all of your expectations and needs, like, or most of them, you know, like onto one person. So I think, yeah, a lot of it is kind of socially driven. A lot of it is kind of financially driven. And, you know, like, obviously, like, I'm not here to say that everyone should be non-monogamous, everyone should be polyamorous. That has never been like a theme in my work at all. But I do want people to kind of question like why they have these preferences, right? Like, where does it come from? You know, is it what you want or is it what you think you should want, kind of thing? And I wouldn't just say that about kind of monogamy, but also like, do you really want kids? Do you really want marriage? Do you really kind of want to follow the script, kind of thing? Yeah, I have gone on a bit of a tangent, but
no, but yes, not at all.
This whole idea is like driven like much more like kind of culturally and socially and kind of politically than people think.
Would you think it's fair to say that polyamorous tendencies and relationships have always existed, but maybe now there's a bit more of a cultural shift of them being recognized and accepted and being normalized?
Oh yeah, yeah, 100%. I mean, various forms of non-monogamy have always existed. And I'm not just talking about kind of patriarchal polygamy, but also, you know, like polyandry, like polygyny. I mean, even now, like there is like a tribe in China that is like matrilineal, where like women have multiple husbands. There are like certain kind of indigenous tribes, you know, like that practice like various forms of like relationships where there isn't kind of strict like coupledom in that sense. So it's always existed. It's always been a thing. And there are also like kind of evolutionary biology arguments like about this as well. Like some people argue that, you know, like monogamy like isn't like natural and innate to humans, and that's why there's so much infidelity in society, and that's why like there's like the Ten Commandments mention it twice, you know. Like if monogamy came so naturally to us, then we wouldn't have all these rules about cheating being so terrible, you know. People would just naturally do it, you know. But I still think that like there is like that doesn't take away from the choice to have one relationship at a time if people want that, but there are other options available, and I'm really glad that, you know, there are conversations like this one that are happening, so that people just know that there are other alternatives, you know, available.
Such an interesting point about the Ten Commandments. Honestly, that's a very valid point that I'm sure people will get a bit of a laugh out of, because I mean, we would have all had to look at the Ten Commandments when we were in school and things like that, and you are right, 100% about that. I'm sure people that are just curious about polyamorous relationships would often question, you know, how is there balance when there are multiple partners? You know, what if people get jealous? How do you spread out your time equally and things like that? How is that approached in a polyamorous relationship?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very common question. And obviously, you know, everyone like uses their time differently. Everyone has different work schedules. Everyone has kind of different hobbies and friends and commitments and various things. And so obviously you have to kind of factor that in. And some people have more time than others. Like that's just, you know, that's just like the nature of things, right? And kind of class and whatever like come into this as well. But I do think it is kind of dependent on the individual, not just in terms of like how much time you have, but also how much time you realistically want in a relationship. Like I've been seeing like a lot of conversations, like even just in monogamous circles where people are like, you know, like I really want to be in one romantic relationship, but I don't want to be around my partner all the time. Like I really like my own space. I don't necessarily want to live with a partner. I really value my independence, or I'm just a bit of an introvert, you know, or I have like a lot of friends I want to invest time in as well. And so it's like, okay, then you can customize that, right? Like you can like find someone who like wants like a similar style of relationship to yourself, and you agree on how much time you want to spend together and how much time you want to spend apart. And, but this is just something that polyamorous and non-monogamous people have been doing just, you know, like this is just like socially accepted as a thing that you do. There isn't the assumption of like, oh, if you're in a relationship, you need to spend all of your time together. You need to move in together. You need to get married. You need to have kids. We're just like, okay, well, what do we have available for, you know, like what do we desire? How much time do we want to invest in ourselves and the kind of other things? And how do we balance all of that? And it's like a very, yeah, like you just kind of tailor and customize it to what works for you. So, you know, like you talk about, you know, treating partners equally. And obviously, like, I believe in kind of treating like all of the people that I'm connected with, like with respect and consideration and communicating with them openly and honestly and all of those things. But that doesn't necessarily mean I treat them all the same, which is not to say I treat either any of them better or worse. But it just acknowledging that everyone wants different things, right? Like if I take my introvert friend to like a rave, they're not going to enjoy that just because I do that with my other partner, right? Like, yeah, it's just like talking to each person about like, well, what do we want out of this? And then just kind of having a conversation. And this is something that even if you don't want multiple partners, you should be doing anyway. But because there is this blueprint of what monogamy looks like, lots of people aren't really having those conversations, or they feel like their partner is going to take it personally if they're like, I want a little bit more time to myself, you know? So yeah, like I think there's a lot of things that monogamous people can learn from the non-monogamous community.
Obviously, because you're an educator in this area, have you had people come to you and say that they're interested in polyamory, but it's actually more so they're just reacting to a bad experience with monogamy? Like, as in, can you be polyamorous and then decide, you know what, maybe that wasn't for me? Like, as in, is it something that comes naturally to people or not?
I mean, I think it's nuanced. I think, I mean, I personally experience kind of my polyamory as an identity, because it's just something that's always like resonated with me. I started doing it very young, you know, I kind of was doing it before I even knew that that was a thing that like other people did, you know? Yeah. And there are other people like myself, but equally there are some other people who come into it through choice, right? Whether it's because, you know, like they've entered into a different stage of life. Maybe they're like, I've done like the marriage and monogamy thing. I want something different now. Or they're just like, this is, I've got some other big commitment in my life. And, you know, this is kind of what I have like available. And it makes sense to kind of date people who also have other partners so that I don't feel pressured to meet all of their needs or something like that. Or it just could be as simple as, you know, someone like falls in love with someone who is non-monogamous and they wouldn't have considered it otherwise. But then, you know, they give it a go and they're like, yeah, actually, like this works for me just as well as monogamy did, and so I'm not mad about it, right? So I do think that people enter into these things like for all kinds of reasons with all kinds of motivations. So I wouldn't really kind of, you know, as much as I was talking about kind of the biological argument earlier, like I do think that, you know, like whether it's an identity or a choice, like that's kind of equally valid.
There, while I have you, because I know you'll know the answer to this, there was a photo of an ad in a telephone poll in the US, a photo of it that's gone viral, that's gone viral online at the minute. So someone in the US seeking a new partner for a polycule. What exactly is a polycule? Because people may have seen this and wonder what that meant. But also, you know, this is a very education conversation, and I'm curious to find out more about all of this, to get as much information.
Yes, yes. So every community has their own little slang terms. And in the polyamorous community, the word polycule is a portmanteau of the words polyamory and molecule, like in chemistry. Because molecules come in all kinds of shapes and sizes, right? Like water is like hydrogen and two oxygens and whatever. And they can be like vast networks or they can be very small. And essentially, like polycule is just like the term that you use for like a group of people who are connected to each other, like through their kind of relationships, right? So they can, just like molecules, look like any shape and size. They could be like a chain of people where A is dating B, who's dating C, who's dating D. They could be like a triad where like three people are all in a relationship with each other. It could be like two couples where like some of them are dating, some of them are not, and then they might also have some other partners in the mix. It could look like whatever. So like a polycule, yeah, it is basically just kind of referring to like the network of polyamorous people.
Well, I'm thinking back to secondary school science with all of that, because I completely forgot about molecules and what they existed and what they stood for. But I think you've broken it down very well there. Like, I know exactly what you mean. And I'm sure people will, have seen terms like this before and wondered what it means, because polyamory isn't something that's necessarily openly talked about. So it's good to have education and information on it so that people understand that if there are people around them that are in polyamorous relationships, and even not themselves, that they have a bit of a grasp of what's happening. But what would you say to someone who's curious about polyamory, for instance, but is a little bit intimidated by it as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's understandable that you would be intimidated. I mean, we live in a society that I think massively stigmatizes polyamory. I imagine a lot of people probably listening to this will be, holding a lot of like the common misconceptions that I get slung at me online. People being like, oh, it's just an excuse to cheat. You're just being irresponsible. You don't understand true love and commitment. And, you'll understand when you settle down someday, you're being really sexually irresponsible and you're going to get AIDS and die, and a lot of this kind of stuff, I get this on a daily basis and I take it in stride, but there is a lot of stigma, there is a lot of judgment, there is a lot of misinformation. And I think that, I really hope doesn't dissuade people from trying something new, especially if it feels like something that could really align with their values and align with like their goals on, kind of what they want out of their relationships and their life and like their connections. Right. And like I said, even if it at the end of the exploration, you're like, maybe I just want one partner at a time after all, like, I think you'll still have learned a lot from the experience that you can take into your monogamous relationships. Like, just the kind of the openness, communication, like the lack of assumptions, the lack of just following what you feel you should be doing, and really deciding kind of what you want for yourself. I think like you will be enriched for it. It is a difficult thing to do, I think, because we grow up with a lot of assumptions about what a relationship looks like, what commitment looks like, pressures to get married and kind of do all of these things. And that being like the path that gets you like the most kind of societal validation. You can do your research, right? Like there are loads of books that exist out there. There are loads of people like, blogs and like, online content creators like myself, like talking very openly about our experiences. Where you can learn what polyamory can actually look like and what it doesn't look like. Really doing some introspection and going like, what do I want out of this? Why do I want to do this? I break it down by thinking about it in like three steps. So I think about it as motivation, vision, and connection. So basically what that means is I think in order to really have like a good idea of like what you want out of your relationships, you need to have a good reason for why you're doing what you're doing. If you're doing polyamory, for instance, then like why, do you enjoy like the freedom of connection? Do you want to explore your sexuality? Do you just kind of enjoy the kind of novelty and excitement? Or do you want like some kind of flexibility in your connection? Do you have like a long-term partner where you're compatible in some aspects but not in others, but you don't want to lose the relationship? You don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's also like equally valid, right? As long as everyone's on board. Or it just could be, you're just in a new stage of your life. You want to do something new, right? And then there's vision, right? Like kind of what do you want out of your relationships? Like, do you want to still have like a family life, like, marriage, kids, all that, but you also have other partners? Do you maybe want to do that with multiple people, right? Like some people, obviously you can't get married to more than one person in most places, but some people do like create like village, like kind of mini villages, like where they like raise kind of multiple children like together, you know, not dissimilar to kind of some collectivist cultures where, you know, there's like intergenerational households and stuff like that, but obviously just with slightly different relationships between the adults, you know, or do you not want any of that at all? Do you want to like live like a relatively single independent lifestyle and have multiple lovers who you see every now and then kind of thing? And then there's connection, you know, just kind of working on your own relational skills, which is obviously very important if you're dealing with multiple intimate relationships. You know, you have to be good at communication, you have to be good at boundary setting, you have to be good at advocating for yourself and your needs. And, you know, having vulnerable conversations, having difficult conversations. So yeah, like I think it's about kind of thinking about all of those factors and, you know, looking online, doing your research, having discussions, exposing yourself to kind of communities, you know, online or offline. And then I guess after that, just giving it a go, right? Because theory sometimes doesn't translate into practice. There might be unexpected things that come up that you just deal with, but that's also life, you know? So yeah, it is intimidating. It makes sense that one would be intimidated. But I guess it's just about what you want to prioritize. Are you going to let that intimidation kind of hold you back from a life that, you know, could be very rewarding and fulfilling for you, or at least make you learn something more about yourself?
You mentioned there that there are so many content creators and there's so much information online about this. If people are genuinely very interested in exploring polyamory or even finding out more about it, where can we find you on TikTok or on social media in general or online? If people are really curious to follow up with you or just follow along with you and see what you get up to.
Yeah, I mean, you can search my name, Leanne Yao, but I'm most commonly known as Polyphilia Blog. So that's PolyPhiliablog. And I am at the same handle across multiple platforms. I'm mostly on Instagram, but I'm also on, you know, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Threads, like
the whole
YouTube, like
the whole shebang.
Every platform I'm on, that same handle, Polyphilia Blog. And I also offer a peer support. Like I do work with kind of clients one-to-one if you want kind of more like specific guidance from me. And you know, I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm more to help you explore your answers to your own questions. So if you're curious, if you need kind of resources, if you need support, you can talk to me.
Well, Leanne, I really appreciate you coming on iRadio's group chat this evening. Thank you so much for talking all about a topic that I'm sure people would consider very taboo, but I think that you've broken it down really well and explained it very, very well. Everyone's learned something new this evening, and I'm sure we will chat to you again on the show.
Thank you very much.
This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.